This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on a bench. Jim Ozarski's our buddy from the Cincy Inquirer. We got him on the bench again to talk about the latest shenanigans with the Bengals. How you holding up, Jimmy?
I'm good. I think Bengals fans need you to crack a few open for them over this last 10-day period. Or so.
I believe I got them for all the Bengals fans. We're pouring beverages right now. So let's start with this. Most recent story that, you know, Marvin Lewis is telling the team it's everybody's fault that Zampezi was fired. And if things didn't change, there'd be more people losing their jobs and, you know, basically threatening everyone on the team that they're going to get fired or, you know, get cut, whatever.
Yeah, I think there's just – I don't know where else you can go, I guess, if you're Marvin Lewis, because, look, there's only so many coaches you can fire, right? So the fact that Ken Zampezi is the first coordinator to be fired, not just in Marvin Lewis's tenure, which we know is about 15 years, but, I mean, in the 50-year history of the team. I mean, this was a pretty big move for this organization, for this head coach. So, Marvin, since January, has preached the coaches have to be better, himself included. You know, the proverbial, like, you know, we hear the Giants coach say the same thing after Monday night, right? Like, we need to be better. Okay, well, he saw a problem. He fixed it in his mind. So now where else do you go with that, right? So it's like now it's on you guys to be the fix or to implement the fix. So, I mean, how real is that? I don't know. But, I think it's the thing you say, you know, and to see if it catches guys' attention.
Have you written any articles yet that it's time for Marvin Lewis to go?
Well, yeah, we've talked about this, guys. It seems like so many times. I have not. And really, it's one of those things that's, I think here, it's just not going to happen. I mean, at least not in this manner. So, you know, Mike Brown, the owner and president, did not come to an agreement and give Marvin an extension this offseason. Marvin would have liked one, but he didn't get it after 6-9-1. This is the first time since 2010 Marvin hasn't had a deal beyond the season he's coaching. So I think that was all part of this. Like when I said, you know, holding coaches accountable or maybe we should be accountable a little more, I think that's part of it is there is no tomorrow for this coaching staff or some players who are in contract years. So I think, honestly, they have too much respect for him and what he's done over 15 years to go that route. I think this was their move on the coaching staff. And his message isn't stale. I'll be honest, Scott. I understand there was some stuff out there floating, mutiny or whatever. Marvin Lewis never has not lost the locker room. His message resonates. I think there was an issue on offense. That was very real, but it has nothing to do with the head coach and his message. At least, you know, I'm in there every day. So I think for him, this was the move. And as far as his future, I think it depends on how that move plays out next 14 weeks.
So it's just strange to me that, you know, I get it that he's won there, and I get it that they've won all these regular season games, but nothing – it's still – you and I have had this conversation. It still amazes me that he could lose that many playoff games, but they look at it differently. You're telling me they look at it like getting to the playoffs is what the accomplishment is, not that they lose there. So his job is never in jeopardy based on the fact that they make the playoffs and that's success in itself for the franchise. To me, that's inexplicable. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's definitely different than anywhere else in the league. I think there's something – and look, if you were to talk to other – be right. I know you do around the country. Look at Buffalo, right? I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs in 17 years. The Bears haven't been there since they fired Lovie Smith after a winning season. So and not that those stories influence Mike Brown. Yeah, I mean, we talked after Joe Mixon was drafted, after Vontaze Burfict, oh, by the way, they just gave another $35 million to – he isn't swayed by outside opinion, but I think there is that sense of, I remember the 90s, look what Marvin's done, and at some point, your players have to win a game. I understand that coaches can do things. Look, we know about Bill Belichick, all that stuff, but right, like, you know, you get to the playoffs, at some point you need the guys to make a play, right? Like, Jeremy Hill shouldn't fumble at the 2-yard line in 2015. You know what I mean? Or maybe in 2013, Andy Dalton shouldn't turn it over 4 times. So it's one of those things, I think, where in some ways the coach is important, but I think Mike Brown also thinks, you know, he needs some help. When, you know, you mentioned 0-7, you know, Carson Palmer and Chris Henry blow their knee out in one play. Like, so there's always a rationalization, and I don't know how far that goes, but I think it's a real thing here, you know?
Do you, Jim Ozarski with us from the Inquirer in Cincy. What is the feeling about, and what are your columns like about Andy Dalton these days? And what are the fans saying about Andy Dalton?
Yeah, it's interesting. The fan base, I think, got kind of tired of Andy after 14, which was the four straight playoff loss. They booed him at the All-Star game here in Cincinnati, and then the guy responded with, you know, his best season ever before the broken thumb in 15, and lo and behold, the quarterback, A.J. McCarron, has him on the brink of that elusive playoff win, that first one since 90. So, you know, there is that part of the fan base where it's like the frustration with the quarterback they feel can't get them over the hump. I think in the building, and then even myself, I mean, I have to look at it objectively. Look, the guy is, in my opinion, above average, but he needs help, which is why the team spent a first-round pick on John Ross at wide receiver, a second-round pick on Joe Mixon. It's why they've drafted offensive linemen high the last couple of years. Now, those haven't really worked yet. But he's been good enough, I think. You know what I mean? You don't win, well, he's had 97 starts. He's won 65% of those games or been part of a team. You know what I mean? So I think it's one of those things, Scott, where he's good, but he's not Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, but there aren't that many. So I think objectively from the team, from the media, it's like, well, he can get hot and needs help. That's, the fan base is a whole other thing because, again, they want to win. They want to get over that hump, and whether it's the coach or the quarterback, I mean, you know how that goes. So it's for them, it's always looking at what's better, but I don't know if what's better really exists in Cincinnati in 2017. This is the team, the quarterback, the coach. They're just hoping this change can kind of spark things Sunday in Green Bay.
Well, don't they believe in A.J. McCarron? Because these stories about Kaepernick surfacing that allegedly the players want Kaepernick. Meanwhile, I have a problem with that because I think McCarron's done a hell of a job whenever they've called on him, and I actually think he's played well, and I think he's, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, teams being interested in him and trading for him with the Bengals. What is that going over like that people think actually that they should bring in Kaepernick and then make McCarron the third stringer? I mean, what kind of BS is that?
Well, I think you just kind of said it there. That was, from near as I could tell, I mean, I've talked to my colleague, Paul Danner Jr. at the beat here at the Inquirer, about a dozen or so guys over the last couple days since that, I don't even know if that's a report, but that rumor, if you will, kind of surfaced. I had one guy, Scott, tell me, well, that reporter spends more time in this locker room than I did. I mean, I don't know anyone. No one would cop to it. No one would say that was said. I don't doubt it was said, but I mean, if you're talking Thursday night at sort of the pinnacle, the height of this offensive frustration, it might have just been a throwaway line that sort of got spun out. In that locker room, they don't have an issue with their starting quarterback. The coaches don't. I mean, for them, it's a clear delineation. It's Andy Dalton and A.J. McCarron's the backup. Andy gets hurt. They feel good about A.J. stepping in. You're right. In 2015, as basically a rookie, McCarron played good. He played okay, you know, down the stretch. The playoff game, he struggled mightily until he put him up with that throw to A.J. Green. And you're right. Teams have called the Bengals, but at this point they feel, look, we're not just going to give away a backup quarterback who we feel good about. So if you want to give us two first-round picks or a first-round pick and a second or a high two, but see, those offers never came to be accepted or denied, despite what maybe people think. So I think in Cincinnati, Scott, it's clear. It's a clear starter and a clear backup. And that's just the way it is here. But that other stuff, I think, was definitely, if it was said, it wasn't accurate to that degree, for sure, regarding Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I don't believe it. So now you play the Packers at Lambeau Field, and you're a heavy underdog. A new offensive coordinator. They've looked terrible in the games. I would imagine, as desperate as they are, I actually think they'll show up for this football game because desperate teams will do anything to get back on the right track.
You know what? I'm kind of leaning your way. I mean, regardless of the injury situation in Green Bay, which is pretty severe, you're right. I mean, and part of it, too, is the character of the real guys in this locker room. But what I mean by that are the leaders. So, like, the A.J. Green, who steps out on a Thursday night and calls for the ball, essentially. He's never done that in his career. Andy Dalton kind of, you know, taking Marvin Lewis's clarion call about execution and playing better on his shoulders. Carlos Dunlap on defense who says, look, you know, yeah, we've allowed, you know, 23 points or 33 points in two games. That's great, but it should be zero. And you know, putting it on himself, I think you're going to see those guys who, whether or not they believe they got a coach fired with their words or their meetings, maybe that's what they wanted, who knows, but I think they'll take responsibility for that, at least for this week, and play. Look, there's, what, 7, 8 Pro Bowlers on this team? I mean, they're not – this isn't the nine – you know, this isn't David Klingler and Achilles Smith and that sort of disaster of the 90s. And this is a very talented group, so you're right. I think there is some sort of bounce back. I think the Bengals are just – it's just a hard place to try to do it. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, I think 4 AFC teams have beaten him in Lambeau since he took over as a starter. So the odds are small, but, you know, this is a talented group, and they just hope Bill Lazor, as a new OC, can kind of get that offense rolling.
Do you believe that they're – like, because a lot of people have them ranked as one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL. Do you even believe that?
No. I mean, on talent-wise, no. But it's hard to disagree in the sense where they're A, they're 0-2, 2 straight at home, you fire a coordinator after 2 games, and you scored 9 points, none of which are a touchdown. So while the defense, if people want to look it up, looks great, what, number 7 overall, number 5 in scoring, that's fantastic. You know, it's hard to argue with the other stuff, right? So I don't think on talent-wise, I don't believe that. But, you know, until they prove it, I don't know how you can, you know, really stamp your feet and say, no, they're not that bad. Because, frankly, everything about it right now says that they're playing that way.
Well, we'll see what they do against the Packers. It's all on the line now. If they go to 0-3 and lose this game, I think their season's a wash. And, I mean, I don't even know what will happen after that. They'll probably give Marvin a raise. Jim Ozarski of the Cincinnati Inquirer, always good to have you on the bench, brother. Enjoy the game at Lambeau. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely will.
All right, Jim Ozarski, the Bengals beat writer for the Inquirer. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sign up for FuronaBench.com. You got to do it with all the football that's going on. I mean, I hit more games than anybody anywhere. My college has been insane. Week one, 77%. Last week, 74% winners. It's ridiculous. Saturday's best games, I think, are Penn State, Iowa, NC State, Florida State, Washington against Colorado, Florida and Kentucky, Michigan, Purdue, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and USC, Cal. So loads of games. Sign up now for RowanAbench.com. You're going to love it. $35 a month. Get you every pick, every game, every day. All the money lines and spreads in college and pro. Thursday, you got L.A., San Francisco. Sunday, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Tampa, Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, New York at Philly in the NFC East, and Seattle, Tennessee. Sunday night, Oakland and Washington. So slews of great pro games. You get everything. Baseball, through the World Series, boxing, MMA. We got daily fantasy. RowanAbench.com has it all. Great price, killer results. Go sign up. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Mary in D.C.
Hey, how you doing? Did I get a guess?
Can we get her a beverage? This is very important.
Our golden missing link for the Nationals is planning to play next week. We're planning to get Bryce Harper back. So he's been playing in simulated baseball games, and he's been running the bases and hitting BP. So it looks good for him to play in the postseason.
And they're still winning without him. And, you know, they win every day, basically, and they know they're getting him back. I think that was a given that he was going to play in the playoffs. And I don't think, you know, that they can win without him. I mean, I think they have to have him in that lineup to actually go deep into the playoffs. What do you think, Mad Hatter? What do you think the difference is for that team with or without him?
I mean, he's the entire key to the team. If he's not in the middle of their lineup, they're not the same team. Zimmerman's struggled. Murphy's been, dealing with a hamstring right now. And the starting pitching is, you know, top to, 1-3, they're very good. The bullpen still, you know, you're not really sure. He comes back, they're a different team, bottom line.
There you go. So I know you're excited to get him back. I think everybody is. It's better, I believe, for baseball fans when the best players are obviously playing in the playoffs and when they're all healthy. So I'd rather see a team loaded and stacked and have their best players out on the field in every situation every night in October than to be playing with a shorthanded deck, you know what I mean? So I want all the teams to be healthy and ready and loaded so that there's no excuses. Simple as that. By the way, the Nats are the favorites, or the Tribe. So the Indians have the best odds. Especially the way they've been playing. They have the best chance to win the World Series. The Dodgers, Astros, and Nationals have the next best odds. So right now it's Indians 9-4, Dodgers 5-2, Astros 5-1, Nationals 7-1. Mad Hatter, you don't, you're not going to tell me you like the way the Dodgers are playing. Like, they're getting their ass handed to them this week by the Phillies. So you're going to tell me that their second favorite at 5-2 to win the World Series, they're not playing good baseball. I don't see how you just flick a switch and start winning.
Well, this has been going on for a month now. This is starting to get to a bad territory. The switch flipping thing is right on your part. There's a point that they might have peaked too soon here. But you could say that about every team that's playing well. You could have said that about Houston. You could have said that Cleveland was struggling, and you could also say that maybe the Indians are peaking too soon. So you know, it's an up and down. It's an up and down nature when you're dealing with this with baseball, especially this late in the year.
How much do you think that Milwaukee lost tonight to the Pirates hurt them?
I mean, it hurts them. They had a perfect opportunity to be tied with Colorado, and Colorado's been fading for now, it seems, for the better part of 6 weeks. They're starting pitching. All their young starting pitchers are starting to, you know, show what they are. They're kids. They're getting tired. It's a 6-month season for a reason.
And then the Pirates get a walk-off home run to beat them, and they had the game won. They were up 4-3 in the ninth.
Yeah, Adam Frazier with the walk-off to deep right for you, for the Bucks.
So, do you think the Brewers will catch Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies have just are hanging on by a thread, it seems. They don't have the starting pitching to get them through. I don't think they have the starting pitching to get them through the last 2 weeks of the year. It's asking a lot for kids to keep going out there every day. Especially with a guy like Chad Bettis, who's coming off the cancer thing, too. So the veterans they do have struggled, like Chatwood. They just don't have the pitching, I think.
I think he's pitching tomorrow, Chatwood.
He pitched tonight.
Oh, was it tonight?
Today.
And they lost.
Yeah, the Giants shut him out. So if they went to San Fran and they can't beat the Giants, and the Giants have been terrible.
All year, the Giants have been one of the worst teams in baseball.
If you were looking into September and you saw the Giants on your schedule and you were the Rockies, you were thinking, man, we're gonna run away with this thing, and they can't beat the Giants.
So let me get this straight. So tomorrow, because I was looking at the baseball games tomorrow. Like, they play the Padres, and it's Tyler Anderson, whose ERA is in the fives, against Clayton Richard in San Diego.
Another young guy in Anderson who was solid for them in the first half and has struggled in the second.
So, and then the Brewers have the lowest payroll in baseball, and it's incredible what they've done when you think about it.
And they have a lot of guys who other teams gave up on. Eric Thames is at the top of that list. Nobody wanted Eric Thames coming back from Korea. Nobody wanted a guy like Jonathan Villar that they have. Nobody wanted... You name the guys in their bullpen. A lot of the guys in their bullpen nobody wanted. So they're like the land of misfit toys, and they're hanging in there.
Hanging in there. Can you imagine that they could win that wild card and go to a one-game playoff?
It would be very exciting. I think it would be very exciting. I think it would be much more exciting than seeing Arizona and Colorado.
And then didn't we see them come into – I was here the night. I was doing the show on The Fan the night they hit the grand slam.
It was Jesus Aguilar had like 8 RBIs in the game.
Aguilar hit the grand slam in a 5-hour game. They had an hour and 10 minutes, 7th inning, and they kicked the Yankees' ass.
The Yankees made like 5 errors in the game, too.
Do you think they could beat the Yankees in a one-gamer?
Who's that?
Like a team like Milwaukee. I forget they're in the National
Minnesota.
League. But Minnesota's hanging by a thread against the Yankees.
Minnesota's kind of the same as
Milwaukee,
the Brewers.
Would play Arizona. Is that right?
Correct. Minnesota's kind of the same team as the Brewers. Like, not a lot of starting pitching. They're kind of okay in the bullpen, but you know, they get the timely hit when they need it.
Do you think that Minnesota will hang on, because now they go to the Cubs, have the Brewers in Milwaukee starting tomorrow, and then I saw where Minnesota, they're playing tomorrow too.
At Detroit,
and it's they go to see Zimmerman tomorrow.
And
in
Minnesota
Detroit.
Just has the best schedule. I think they have the Tigers 6 more times, and the Tigers are waving the white flag, obviously.
All right, call the show if you're concerned about any of these wild card baseball teams.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, 855-212-4CBS, 4227 is the number to get on the bench. I don't know if you saw this today, but the Yankees were playing the Twins in the final game of that series in the Bronx, and the Yankees swept them, and they did it with a barrage of home runs, and Judge hit another one. But the big story coming out of that game was not that they swept the Twins, but that a little girl got nailed with a liner off the bat of Todd Frazier. She got drilled in the head. She was carried from the lower section of the seats just beyond the visiting dugout down the third base line after being struck by Frazier's line drive. Her dad said, "She's all right. Keep her in your thoughts." They wouldn't give her name. She knows she got hit by a baseball. She's just happy they hit home runs. The girl's family told reporters tonight that she and her mom would be staying overnight at Morgan Stanley's Children's Hospital in New York Presbyterian Hospital. Her grandfather told the New York Times that it's too soon to tell if she needs surgery. Play was stopped. Frazier and others were a mess after it happened. They showed, what's the guy's name? Who was on second base, the veteran that they got? I can't think of his name. Anyway, He was crying. Did you see the guy crying on second base? Anyway, I want to look at the game today. I'll tell you who it was. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I got a brain freeze. Anyway, so a lot of the players were a mess over the whole thing. Holiday was the guy that was crying. He was standing on second, I think. But Frazier was a mess, too. Ellsbury looked like he was struggling with it. A lot of the Twins players were struggling with it. You know the conversation's going to start again about netting. Didn't the Mets, Mad Hatter, put netting mafia, do you know? Didn't they do that down? Did they do it all the way down the line?
Yeah, the Mets have pretty much extended it all the way down the line.
And that was because a New York City councilman, Espinal, had threatened both the Yankees and Mets with introduction of a bill that, if it became law, would force both teams to extend the netting all the way down. Do you think that the Yankees now should extend the netting all the way down the line based on in July they had a guy get drilled in the head out there to some old man. He was bleeding profusely. And now this little girl today got drilled in the face. And we don't even know if she has to have surgery.
Well, baseball sent out a mandate months ago, and teams have been kind of slow to react, including the Yankees. So it's hard to lay blame, but you can't think of any other thing to do except lay blame on the Yankees for this.
Especially because one of the people who was instrumental in pushing for the, you know, the stuff that got the Mets to do the netting was a guy who got injured at Yankee Stadium a couple years ago. So it's not like you said, it happened earlier this year. Some guy, the guy who was pushing for it, got an eye injury at Yankee Stadium from a foul ball. So this has happened there many times before, and they haven't, you know, fixed it. You know, they have all these things that they'll put in the stupid pillars blocking people's view in the new Yankee Stadium, but they won't put some netting.
So you think they should do it?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to protect the fans. I mean, we see now they have all these stats about, like, exit velocity and things like that when the ball comes off the bat. It's going too fast for someone to react that quick.
You think they should put it all the way down to the end?
I mean, if every other team can pretty much do it. I mean, a lot of teams have been slow to do it. The Yankees have been slow to do it. The Giants haven't done it yet. I mean, it's going to be soon that it's going to be
mandatory.
So if it's going to be mandatory and one of these teams refuses to do it, they're asking for trouble from a fan that gets, you know, something happens that might be worse.
Do you think they should sue the Yankees, the family?
Well, the Yankees will point to the thing on the back of the ticket saying, well, you know, it's at your own risk. It's printed on the back of the ticket. Nothing you can do.
If you get drilled in
there. Right. Every major league team does that. They say, well, look at the back of the ticket there.
Yeah, it does say that. Do you think that automatically keeps them off the hook for it?
I mean, I don't know if anyone's really challenged that in court. So it would be an interesting thing to see.
Don't you think it's just an easy out just to print that on the back of a ticket when some little girl gets her head smashed in?
Well, of course. It's like saying the dry cleaner lost your suit, and it was like, oh, well, you know, we're not responsible for losing your suit. It's the same thing. Or any other place
you go.
Actually,
it's not the same thing. One is losing a suit, and two is having your head smashed
They put up a
150-mile-an-hour line drive.
You know what I mean? They put up a sign saying, we're not liable.
I don't know what you mean.
All right. Like any place that says,
Mafia.
We're not liable for what may have happened to you just because we put up a sign.
How about when they do that at the club? We're not responsible for any stolen items, including your car or anything. Like,
we provide the locks, you know, on the lockers that people break into, but it's not our fault if they do it.
That's exactly what they say.
I think that goes...
We don't care if your car gets ripped off. We only have one camera in the garage, and it's not on the second or third floor. It's only on the first floor. So where does the guy rob the cars?
And all they do is say, well, we put up a sign, so we're not responsible.
I know, it's just unbelievable.
I think, you know, obviously I'm not a lawyer. I just pretend to be one on the radio at times. But
I'm a lawyer.
Think, you know, the thing on the back of the ticket, I think it only goes so far. I mean, I think if someone really wanted to challenge them in court in a situation like this, they could win. Because, I mean, if it's one thing where, you know, you're at the park and everyone has the same, you know, setup at the park and something happens, okay. But whenever, you know, a lot of other teams, including the other one in your city, are putting up this thing to protect the fans, and you're not doing it, aren't you derelict in your responsibility? You know, you can't just say, hey, we didn't know it happens. Well, it's not happening other places. Everyone else is doing the thing to protect the fans, and you're not. So that's on you then.
There you go. Mafia getting involved. And the Mad Hatter, both legal beagles on this show tonight, suing everyone in sight. Andrew in Alabama.
I just want your opinion for two things. And is it all right if I ask two opinions that aren't about baseball?
All right, go ahead. What do you want to ask me?
Okay. First of all, do you think that Gus Malzahn deserves to get fired? And the second thing is, do you know the reason why Auburn didn't score big in their last game?
Well, I think that he will get fired, and I think those days, his days are numbered. And all I know is what's in front of me. I know that they're laying 17 and a hook. Do you know what that means? They're favored by 17 and a half points, kid, this week. That means they have to win by 18 for anyone to actually be happy with them. If they don't win by 18, people are going to blame Gus Malzahn. When you go to school every day, what do your classmates say about the two things, the team and about the coach? What do your classmates say about the team and the coach? What do they say?
Well, they basically say that the quarterback is horrible and Gus Malzahn is the reason why they're playing bad.
So when they were winning and they were playing for championships and everything, he was a great coach. And now that they're not winning as much and they don't matter as much, he basically, in not so many words, sucks. Is that right?
Lost his touch.
He's lost his touch. Ah, I like this kid. What grade are you in, dude?
I'm actually in ninth grade, and I love sports, and I love listening to your show every night. So
that's awesome. Ninth grade, huh? So do you think they should fire him? I mean, are you sick of him?
Honestly, I think that they can do better if they get rid of the quarterback and the coach. So
what happened to the old quarterback? What was his name? Sean White or something like that?
I have no idea.
Well, I think he got there. He used to be like the starting quarterback. Mafia, didn't he get popped for like being?
He transferred and got kicked off his team this week, right?
But he was hammered or something.
Yeah, for public intoxication, I think.
Listen, Andrew, here's my advice to you: do well in school and don't get busted being hammered in public.
Okay, thank you.
I love that kid. I love that kid. You know what I mean, Mafia? As you know, I have had a huge influence on the youth of America over the years. Every kid that's in ninth grade, eighth grade, seventh grade, they all listen to me. Fifth grade, you know it's true. Just admit it, Mafia, right now. It's true.
Absolutely. I mean, we had one last night at 1:30 in the morning Eastern.
So, and then what happens? You've been with me a decade. You've seen them like go from like whatever 18, and then they call up their 28, right, or whatever. You've seen guys that were 28 call me when they're 38. I've seen guys literally. I kid you not. I've seen. How long ago did you work with me at Howard Stern, Mad Hatter?
It's been 10 years.
So you've seen it too. Like, how many kids have you seen call my show over the years that then call me back as like an adult with like their own kid?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's like, oh, this kid doesn't have a deep voice. Now he's a deep voice again now.
But I've seen Mafia. I have no idea what any of that meant. But I. So I have grandpas, dads, sons, brothers, cousins, uncles, lions, tigers, and bears that listen to me over the years. All these other shows get accolades. They all are geniuses. There's so many talented people. I mean, just so gifted. So unbelievably talented people around here.
Are the Lions and Tigers and Bears like different fan bases among sports, or are those actual animals listening to us now?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded good. And then
and he was still at Auburn, Sean White, when he was dismissed.
Right, he still was at Auburn. So my point being is that I may not be as great as all these other just mega enriched, talented people, but I know this much. I'm the only guy around here that has generations of fans from the age of, 7, 8 years old till 100 years old that listens to him. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Oh, I have stood the test of time more than anyone here. That's all there is to it. I have 90-year-olds call this show. And then it's just not happening on other shows. They're all better than me, though. Know that. I am just lucky to be breathing in the same asbestos as them here at the building. But just the fact is that my show crosses generations, makes me horny. It's true. Louder. Sorry, we had to stop playing music because they got these rules here, and you can't play music for more than 50 seconds an hour, and we already used the music portion of the hour up at the beginning of the hour, or at the beginning of the show. My 45 seconds of entertainment value for the show was used up. It was slurpied up in the first minute of the show tonight, and then the remainder of the show sucks and is dry and boring, like I'm in a jail cell with echo chamber radio. That's what this is. Mafia, I was also offended this week to read about how all these great stations around the country have these great shows with music on them that have stolen everything from me. From the day I've been doing this show for 30 years, I used to play music the entire show, right? Under the show. And who plays more rock and roll and more music than me in the history of sports radio?
No one.
But of course, I'm not even mentioned ever that I've done anything ever in the business. I don't even work in this stupid-ass business. In fact, I hate everyone in it. How does that sound? Take that to bed with you. I can't stand everyone.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.